Imagine my surprise early in our new millennium when I realized, even then as a middle-aged professor of modern international history and politics, that I was not qualified to do my job. An embarrassing revelation, considering that I had already spent years teaching at colleges across America, spent decades teaching at both SUNY Albany and the Sage Colleges. Okay, it was not that I did not know a great deal about all sorts of struggles, from the world wars to battles over civil rights, tons about revolutions from the American and French to the Russian and Chinese. No, the problem was that while I thought I knew all about the Industrial Revolution, how it had transformed the world economy and society, it became embarrassingly obvious that I had not a clue about the most profound impact of industrialization, which I tended to associate with those first steam engine operated looms and trains, focusing on the captured steam power that energized them, while ignoring the black smoke pouring out the back end, which was infinitely more transformative, which would have been obvious if I had only understood less political history and more earth science, understood better the role of greenhouse gases that have long regulated the earth's temperature, an understanding of which ultimately turned me into an environmental activist. But I had not abandoned my lifelong study of the evolution of human society. Rather, climate change had invaded my field and set off an intense study of the implications of CO2-induced global warming. And an era that saw me giving hundreds of public talks, which initially was something of a challenge, because back then, while the massive storms, fires, desertification, and mudslides, all typical of an increasingly destabilized climatic system, were becoming commonplace around the world, not much was happening in the contiguous 48 states, making it hard for my audiences to appreciate the danger. That, however, changed over the years, as those same horrific storms, floods, and fires started to become commonplace here. And while the Bush administration was largely in denial, by his last State of the Union, even W admitted our increasingly destabilized climate was real. And more encouraging, both candidates in 2008, McCain and Obama, were open about confronting the challenge. While Obama, once in office, made confronting the climate crisis a major priority, as he made clear first in Copenhagen and then Paris in 2015, when the world finally came together, literally hundreds of nations, on the necessity of taking ambitious steps to get the challenge under control, all of which would have been enormously encouraging if the progress humanity was making had not remained less transformative than the ramping up of global climatic disasters. In short, humanity's progress was being outpaced by the speed of the growing danger. And then, of course, came the arrival to the American presidency of a man committed not merely to undermining humanity's efforts to slow the destabilization of our global climate, but to undermine the progress already made. Which, of course, brings us to the greatest irony of my re-education, that yes, to understand the climate crisis, one needs an understanding of earth science, but to confront the climate crisis, we are back to my usual bailiwick, political science, and the simple reality that while federalism created Donald Trump's regionally based minority presidency, federalism offers the best chance to keep hope alive. Indeed, throughout the United States, individual states are stepping into the breach. And at this moment, here in New York State, the Cuomo administration is attempting to merge the governor's ambitious but especially focused Climate Leadership Act with the legislature's more inclusive Community and Climate Protection Act into a package that could see New York emerging as the leader of America's commitment to confronting the climate crisis. Nevertheless, that will not happen unless New York's residents immediately call. Indeed, this week is probably the deadline. Their representatives in the legislature and the governor's office and demand that New York State find a path to reconciling these different legislative visions and move not only America, but the entire world closer to a sustainable future.